Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
MoreLikeRadio.com. It's our duty to entertain you. I said duty.
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in the More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
Previously on Hippo Juice.
What exactly? Okay, please define what War of the Roses.
You've never heard of it, Marie?
You guys have mentioned it in passing, but I never bothered to ask.
Holy shit, they're showing the Silly String Fire. Oh my God!
Yeah. Isn't that freaking frightening?
I put one in.
I know we're on two different tangents right now, Silly String Fires and War of the Roses.
Okay, well, you talk to John about Silly String Fires. I'll talk to Marie about War of the Roses. Okay.
Go ahead. Doug.
Okay,
explain.
Same time?
No, not
same
at the same time. Okay, ready?
Okay, and, so Marie, right,
so
what happened?
With the silly string, it's like the old stuff.
Is that what they do is have a person, like a woman thinks that.
And then, like,
man
I understand what you're saying, John, and then what happens is that when it ignites it,
like they're doing
it like makes a fireball, right? And it just, like, kills it. It kills people.
And what happens is, there's a lawyer.
You could tell that it was a minority.
My name is Lawyer Frenchman.
Yeah, I know, but.
If you've been in a silly string fire, call me.
I know. Oh, that's really like, funny. Hey, and then here's the thing. Like, you can tell that it's like cheap silly string because it's a black kid that's using it. So that's how you can tell. Like, it's very weird.
The different girl than the
and it's like, you know, I don't know.
Oh, my God, I can't believe you.
I mean, this poor guy is trying to enjoy his birthday and his hair's on fire.
Hippo Juice is recorded in front of a live internet audience.
Thank you for choosing Hippo
what
Juice.
What about the Hippo Juice show?
What about the Hippo Juice
people? Let me get back to you a couple of minutes.
I
want to see the Hippo Juice email.
I love listening to Hippo Juice.
Hey, it's Patrice O'Neill, and you motherfuckers are listening to Hippo Juice.
Water, no water, can't stop.
I'm a producer, motherfucker. I got
like,
shit.
There's always so much in my mind, so whenever I'm having sex with somebody, it usually takes me a while to come.
Oh my God! There's a video back away.
You're in, you paralyzed. That's why I'm laughing so hard.
Hippo Juice, nigga.
Welcome to the Hippo Juice Show. The number to call in is 954-573-2780, hashtag Hippo Juice on the Twitter or Facebook. I'll be checking that out throughout the night. Today is August 14th, 2013. Year of our Lord, if you will. And a big ups, shout out to my dad. Today's old man Lopez's birthday. So
happy 75th birthday.
Yes, happy 75th birthday.
Happy 175th birthday.
These numbers are greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, so I'm
how old is your pops?
Ryan, 51.
As old as wine.
51.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, 51 years old. Young today, if you will. So I'm trying to get him to call in. Anyway, we are live. It is Wednesday. What
it
else?
It is Hippo Juice.
It is Hippo Juice.
It is a podcast.
We have coming up in the second hour, Ethan Nicole, the creator of Axe Cop.
Axe Cop!
So just hit him up at Axe Cop on Twitter. And
are we going to ask him some questions?
You know, you're not.
Look at this guy.
I'm funny.
Oh, you're really sharp. That's
funny.
Like an
axe. I'm funny.
Yeah.
Actually, his personal Twitter is E Nicole, but it's spelled N-I-C-O-L-L-E. There's two L's.
It looks like a pasta dish.
Yeah, right before the show, we were looking up, figuring out how to...
Is it real Italian, or is it like the girl's name? Like, is it Nicole, or is it Nicole? It's Nicole.
I get you a nice plate of Nicole from me mom.
Yes. So, yeah, that's coming up second hour. And, of course, we have Ryan 2 weeks in a row now. It's amazing.
That's a record.
Thank you. I just plugged this camera in, and boy, are my arms tired. No, I'm trying to figure out how to zoom out with this thing because it didn't come with any drivers.
Well,
it
was $5. Why don't you shut up?
Is it one of the ones where like the actual you can actually spin the lens?
Yeah, can you?
Spin
the lens?
Yeah, but when I spin it, it just gets more or less blurry.
Well,
it's
if you
necessarily zoom in or out.
How about if you want to zoom out, just move it further away from you?
Yeah, or make it less blurry because it's pretty bad right now.
Well, like Roy said, it was five doll hairs, so.
Yeah, we'll figure it out later. Anyway, we are live. And by the way, a lot of people have been giving us compliments on the new RSS feed. The downloads are very, very fast. Oh, and once again, I want to formally welcome on Hippo Juice Show, I want to welcome High Society Radio, who just started this past week on More Like Radio. So big ups to them.
Are they like a fancy show or like a pot smoking show?
Well, it's more the pot thing.
It's a fancy pot smoking show.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Right.
They're fancy men. Yeah, we got them. We got The Edge with Joe and Alex.
Yes, there you go.
And we got Talk Radio Meltdown. All on, within the same week.
Yeah.
Because we're awesome on More Like Radio.
Yeah, we're okay.
Shut up, Ryan. What do you know?
I know that this webcam has like half of my head now, but it's not blurry anymore.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah,
so anyway, so we got a whole bunch of stuff going on. But this is a crossover segment. I wanted to get this over with right now at the beginning. Yesterday, during Dutch and Royce, you could listen at morelikeradio.com/downloads.
Like Dutch and Royce.
Dutch was reading. What was the name of the singer, the 30 singer, Lucia Bogan?
I believe so. It was an old-timey, like, vaudeville 1930s jazz singing act. And it was just like dirty, filthy stuff or whatever. So right. I didn't think you guys could hear it correctly. So I was reading out loud what she was saying, like after a stanza.
Uh-huh. And,
George Costanza?
Was it Hamster that put this together?
Yes. Hammy from Brain Stew sends me something today, right before, a couple hours before the show. He's like, here you go. And well, let me pull up the video here just so you guys could hear it.
Turned out really good. I enjoyed the song.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on a second. I'm just trying to. And then what I did was I went through Dutch's Facebook because I'm a dick. And
well, you're a dick, but also Joel makes it really easy on himself to be put into this kind of situation.
Well, when I have a folder called Me Not Acting Straight.
Yeah, so what I did was thank you for making it easier, Dutch. I took it and we got Dutch, the gay jazz singer, is the title of this YouTube video. You can check it out More Like Radio, but let's just play the audio so you guys can hear it.
I'll give you something, baby. Swear it'll make you cry. I'm going to turn my back on my mattress and let you oil my springs. I want you to grind me, Daddy, till the bell do rings. Oh, Daddy, I want you to shave them dry. Oh, great God, Daddy, baby, won't you try?
I like how this is a musical interlude.
Of course there is.
This is my favorite.
This is the part where you dance.
Soft you.
Grind me, honey, and shave me dry. And when you hear me holler, baby, want you to shave it dry. Oh, Daddy, baby, won't you shave them dry? I got nipples and my titties, big as the end of my thumb. I got something between my legs that will make a dead man come. Oh, daddy, baby, won't you shave them dry?
And that's your song. It's my ringtone now.
Bravo, Joel.
Yeah, and I think it was good. I mean, you got out there exactly what you wanted. You're going to shave them dry, Dutch, and I'm sure this day and age translates to suck them dry, Dutch, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Very good, Dutch.
Well, how would shave mean suck?
Marie, just go with it.
It's the 1930s. They had different euphemisms back then.
But yeah. Wouldn't that be painful? Because in the 1930s, then all they had was like a straight-edge razor?
I guess.
Yeah, they didn't have Mach 4s. Or four.
I mean, you could probably just like, you know, tape up four straight edge razors together, but then that would just be a lethal weapon.
You're like Edward Scissorhands.
Florida
with a straight edge razor.
Florida beach flasher, yes, leaves note offering $200 if woman lets him kiss their butts.
What?
Okay, let me explain.
I'd let him kiss my butt for $200.
Ryan, you don't even know what it is.
Wait, hold on a second. It doesn't matter. We're not doing this correctly. Aren't we supposed to do the Florida bit?
Oh, that's Florida. Right. Don't you? Oh, I
Florida
forgot.
Story, Royce.
Florida, oh,
I should have taken the song. I have the drop that.
Oh, so you haven't done it yet. Oh, you bring it up.
Right.
Yeah, but you're the one who has the music. I thought we tag teamed it.
Royce, you forgot about it.
Yeah.
And Joel reminded you.
Yeah, but Dutch didn't put it together, so why would he remind me if he doesn't have it put together? Anyway, Dutch, you ready?
Yep.
All right. One, two, three.
It's not playing. I want to play.
Hey, yo, it's Florida.
There we go.
All right, Florida story. Florida beach flasher leaves note offering $200 if women let him kiss their butts. Let me put a copy of the note here in the More Like Radio chat room so everyone can see it. There's a note if you guys want to like read along with us.
Oh, it's on just like regular
notebook
high
paper.
School notebook paper.
Yes.
I like that they double spaced.
Flashing your junk on public beach is already a
butt slam!
Damn, he's hot.
Flashing your junk on a public beach is already a dubious way to attract the opposite sex. But a man on Florida Space Coast has been taking that losing plan to the next level by leaving notes propositioning his victims. In one posted on Facebook, the man offers a woman $200 if you let me kiss your butt. Instead, they report him to police and hand over the cell phone photos of the naked bandit. The flasher described... The flasher described by one of the victims as heavy-set guy around 35, has man boobs, and looks like a tat on his right bicep. JJ Stoner has been terrorizing beachgoers near Venice, Florida. One woman and her friend were on the beach recently when the man walked up, tossed a crumpled handwritten note in their direction, then walked away to watch them from a distance with a towel around his waist. Here's the note, which the woman shared with the local community Facebook page called Venice Scene.
Would you read it creepy for me?
Okay, sure, but then I have to stop this music then.
You have to read it really creepy.
I give one of you $200 or each of you $100 if you let me kiss your butts. Come here, we can do it. Or if you wave to me, I'll drop to my knees and play with myself while you watch, and I'll leave money on the ground and walk away when I'm done. I'm assuming he's breathed really heavy.
I'm creeped out right now.
That was a good creeper.
When we did not respond at all, he then dropped his... Oh, hold on a second. When he did not respond at all, he then dropped his towel and performed inappropriate
anything. We will just run a bit into the ground.
When they did not respond, then he dropped the towel and performed inappropriate actions on himself.
Like what?
Probably jerking off openly on the beach. The woman tells the scene. When he saw me get on my phone, he wrapped up and walked away. The woman reported the crime to local police, who are now asking the public to help track down the man. Who they believe has flashed at least five groups of women since last Saturday.
He's been a busy bee.
I can't remember when where somebody has done this and left a note. Venice Police Chief Tom McNulty said, "That's what McNulty from The Wire's doing? That's sad."
Wow.
Dude. Tells WWSB, "I have worked sex crimes here for many years as a detective. It's a new very..." Oh, God. Venice Beach SVU.
Oops.
Police released this pic of the flasher in action. Oh, you want to see a picture of the flasher in action?
Yes, more than breathing.
All right. Well, it's in the More Like Radio live chat room. Bam.
Oh, Jesus.
Aww. It has no legs.
No, that's because
it's paint scratched out.
He looks like Loveless from Wild Wild West.
Well, no, it's just paint. I'm sure he's not.
So, yeah, I'm sure he's on his knees.
Yeah.
Just jacking it.
Just jacking it.
Yep. Just jacking it.
That looks like Dr. Frederick Bowles.
Did we lose Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh, apparently we did.
He's not on video anymore. I don't know what happened. He was up and walking around, and I don't know what he did.
Who knows?
Good job, Ryan.
His five-color web camera couldn't handle the pressure.
Possible. Very, very possible. All right.
I mean, I don't know what's the big deal. He's not harming anybody.
But it's gross. By the way, how does someone get off by that? Like just jerking off in public? Like how does that?
Everyone has an itch, dude.
It's dirty. Yeah. It's wrong. Yeah, it's naughty. It's bad. Scratch.
Yeah. I said niche, not itch, but whatevs. Drunk man on the way to jail attempts to urinate out the window of moving sheriff cruiser, fails spectacularly.
He peed in the car?
Here's an image of the gentleman.
Did he try to like just stick his dick out the window?
He kind of looks like Reggie Miller. Meet Devin Langford. While handcuffed in the back of a patrol car following a drunk driving arrest, a 23-year-old Floridian attempted to urinate out of the window of the moving car. And an audition.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
He looks like if Woody Allen and a black woman had a kid.
Why is he wearing a barber's bib?
An audacious effort from the failed miserably when Langford misaimed and showered the cruiser interior with urine, the police report says. According to the Indian River County Sheriff's Office report, Langford was pulled over last month for speeding by Deputy Brian Bell. Besides noting that Langford had red, glassy, and bloodshot eyes and slurred speech, Bell also reported spotting a plethora of empty beer cans littering Langford's truck. After failing a series of field sobriety tests, Langford was arrested by Bell and then placed in a squad car for transport to the county jail for booking. En route to lockup, Langford informed Bell that he needed to urinate. The deputy initially told the detainee, yes, Marie.
I just want to know if the sheriff asked him if he had to go tinkles before he put him in the car. Because if you don't ask him if he has to go tinkles, this is the problem you're going to deal with.
So I don't think that's part of the Miranda rights.
more like Miranda wrongs.
That's a solid joke. That's what I appreciate about it.
Which one, yours or Royce's?
Well, mine mostly.
I agree. Yours was better.
I only acknowledge my own jokes because they're funny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I honestly, like, my mom always told me when I was a kid, she's like, we're not leaving this house if you don't empty your bladder out, so do it now.
But Langford knew he would not last long. Bell reported Langford asked me if he could urinate in my car. Bell said, if you had to urinate in my car, that I understood. I am very, very sorry. I have to pee in the back of your car. I did not want to pee in the back of your car. Trust me, said Langford.
I wanted to pee in the front of your car.
Yeah. it was then that Langford came up.
Well, then why didn't he just pull over and let him take a piss? He gave him fair warning.
What did the guy get arrested for?
Speeding.
Drunk driving.
He didn't think a drunk guy would take a piss?
Yeah.
Maybe he was speeding because he had to piss really bad.
Maybe the cop should have asked something like, have you already broken the seal yet? Because you have to watch out for that shit when you're drinking beer.
All right, first off, I don't know, we were going to start like just cursing on the show. Like, is that a new thing now?
Yeah.
Because
if I knew the show was going to have salty language,
Ryan,
I wouldn't have
come
back.
I'm sorry.
I'm
sorry.
I'm on maximum swearing tonight.
I love that drop. That is a fantastic drop. okay.
By the way, for people who, because someone asked me a couple weeks ago, that's from the Real Big Fish live CD.
Oh, okay. I don't care.
Well,
thanks for that little tidbit.
Do you have the More You Know sounder? Because I would love that.
I do have that.
Because I would love that.
I just don't have it pulled up right now.
Well, what do you have today?
I thought I had it. Hold on. No, keep going. Sorry.
Grandma gives birth to twin granddaughters.
Wait.
How old's a grandmother? Because that could be misleading. You could be like 38.
No, you're misunderstanding.
Wait. That's impossible unless she's a time traveler or they were using some sort of crafty newspaper grammar logic.
There's a third option, and you, both of those are wrong. So do you want to get to the third option or you guys want to try to guess
how this
happened?
So maybe she's a grand...
By the way, I didn't misread it. Let me read it one more time.
Okay.
Is this like the whole, you know, I'm my own grandfather bit?
No. Grandma gives birth to twin granddaughters. Do you guys want to guess?
Oh, so let me guess.
She fucked her son?
No!
Her son fucked her.
No one fucked anybody.
Well, then I'm plumb fresh out of ideas.
Yeah, if nobody's fucking anybody, then I don't know how to
talk about
it. Was it the grandkid fucked
Dutch,
grandma?
Dutch, by the way, there's a word pud coming up right away in the first line I'm reading, so get ready for a drop. Just have one ready. I'm just warning you.
Okay, I'll just hit a random.
I want to give you, okay. Talk about a labor of love.
Matt Damon.
Oh, surrogate mom. Surrogate.
Because of labor, right?
Susie Kowalski, an Iowa mother of four, ages 20 to 30, gave birth to her own twin granddaughters, Haley and Hadley.
That's just lazy. Haley and Hadley?
I swear to God.
That was just a drunken... That was a drunken slur.
You're a Haley.
My kid's Haley.
You're a Haley.
Wait, what's the last name?
K-O-Z-I-S-E-K.
Not going to fornicate here no more.
Kozowski?
Kozowski? No.
Kozowski?
No, it's not Kozowski. Kozek? Kozekisk?
Something Polish.
Hold on, maybe this caller can pronounce it for us. Hi, caller, who's this?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday.
Hey, Mr. Royce's dad.
How old are you today? Huh? 21 with 30 years of experience?
Old enough that I feel it.
What are you doing for your birthday?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
But did I wake you up? Were you sleeping?
It sounds exhausting.
No. I was having it out with your mom as well.
You
know?
Oh, well.
Because, oh, no.
I can see why that would make you tired.
Yeah, that'll tire you out. Well, no, everyone wanted you to call because everyone on the show wanted to wish you a happy birthday, especially Dutch.
Hi, yeah, Mr. Lion and Royce's dad.
Hi, how are you? Anyway, you got tickets to the circus.
You got tickets to the circus? You got tickets to the circus?
Ringling Brothers, yeah.
Really? And what are you...
Okay. And apparently I can't go.
You can't go to the circus?
Well, can't go to the circus. Can you imagine it?
You're not allowed to go to the circus?
Yeah, because out of all the days, your mom could get here at 6. Look at the time. She's still not here.
Well, I could try to call and see if the elephants will wait.
I didn't tell her.
Well, now, I mean, she doesn't know. Everyone else listening does now, though. Well, I mean, I'll try to get Mr. Ringling on the phone if you want. Maybe Barnum and Bailey. I don't know.
Why don't you do that?
All right, Dad. Happy birthday. I didn't know you were... wrong time to ask the call. All right, Dad. Bye. Awkward.
You just got into a fight with your mom.
How funny was that?
Because he wanted to go to the circus.
But he wanted to surprise her, and now she's like, what's he been a dick for yelling at me? I'm a little bit late. Jesus Christ, we'll have dinner later, that kind
of
thing.
Talk about a labor of love. Okay, did we forget how to pronounce this Polish lady's name?
Kransky.
I'm going to say Kransky. 53, acted as a gestational carrier for her daughter, Ashley Larkin. Because Larkin has pulmonary hypertension and cannot get pregnant. Before giving birth to the twins in July, she was also the gestational carrier for Larkin's older daughter, Harper, born 2011. A gestational carrier. It's like a daughter, but, you know, weirder.
Dowerder.
She darts her tongue in and out like a lizard sometimes.
Maybe that's what you're going to get pregnant.
Darter.
A gestational carrier volunteers to carry a pregnancy for another woman.
I know what it is. Don't belittle my intelligence.
Well, I mean, maybe you know, but not everyone doesn't know. Not everyone's seen that episode of Friends.
I don't know.
Okay. Gestational carrier volunteers to carry a pregnancy for another woman.
You just told us.
You just told us, though.
God,
you're believing my intent. You know what? Fuck you.
The eggs and sperm have harvested from biological parents and united together in vitro fertilization.
Did it have to happen in October?
No, but Barry White does have to be on. The resulting embryo is then implanted, or at least Boys to Men. You know Boys to Men stopped making music because of all the poon they got? That's a fact. I heard about the procedure on the talk show and decided to check it out. The possibility of doing this I hope it was one of our shows, because we were probably joking. Larkin said she considered her children a blessing and a miracle. I've always been close to my mom, even before this, so that hasn't changed, and I'm grateful she
will. Lazy ass son of a bitch daughter. Mom, can you carry my children for me? By the way, I'm having twins. Thanks.
The embryos for Larkin's twins were kept in storage since an in vitro fertilization took place in October 2010.
The first month was free, but after that, they slap you with $99 a month.
It's the hidden fees. It's a one-time fee you pay annually. It took place in October 2010 at the Mayo Clinic. They were implanted in this bitch's uterus November 2012. Both pregnancies were uneventful. This hoe said, similar to their pregnancies with her own children, she stayed healthy throughout and was able to continue her job as a secretary. Ooh, wow. She kept her job as a test secretary. Good thing you don't want to lose that career path.
Nope.
For the duration, Larkin was in the delivery room when her daughter was born. Dr. Yanni Jensen, that sounds fake, the Mayo Clinic fertility doctor who performed the in vitro fertilization for the family, said the circumstances surrounding the twins' birth were extremely uncommon. It's unusual for a mother to act as a gestational carrier for her own children.
It's not unusual.
Usual to give birth to anyone.
Da, 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 da.
After discussing with the Mayo Clinic fertility groups and consulting with high-risk pregnancy experts, Jensen gave this ratchet-ass
hope. Wait, did you say Irish pregnancy experts?
Yes, Irish pregnancy experts.
Isn't that like a bottle and a smack in the face?
Yep, that's the experts.
They do have a lot of babies. I would consult them too.
High-risk pregnancy very drunk. Experts. Jensen gave this ratchet-ass hoe the green light. As a doctor, she was delighted with the results.
I'm pretty sure you're editing here.
No, I'm not. That's what dude, I didn't write this. Yahoo did. There are
some Yahoo.
Yeah, there are testimonies.
Modest Yahoo's writing articles now?
No, Yahoo Serious, you idiot.
Oh.
Don't be ridiculous.
Yakov Smirnoff?
Don't be ridiculous. It's Yahoo Serious.
Don't be ridiculous. Balky.
Is Ryan here? Ryan is coming and going like Batman. I swear
really
to God.
Ryan, instead of doing a podcast, he restarts his computer 5 times. That's what he likes to do.
Yeah, he said something about how nothing was working on his computer. It was just freezing.
It's like,
up.
Oh my God, I have to restart my computer again. The web page isn't loading.
All right, Dutch, guess what?
What?
Chicken butt.
A volunteer experience for two British teams.
Tittles! Yeah! It's not Tittles.
It's not. Fuck.
Okay.
Two British teens.
By the way, Tits did respond to the show idea we asked her, which is Tits on Tits.
She did. She said, you know, it just may work.
Okay, so if we can get Tits on Tits greenlit and blue skied before the end of the show, I'd appreciate it.
And promote synergy.
Yes, but grab low-hanging fruit.
Just to be clear, she was agreeing to my tongue-in-cheek idea of Tits on Tits is actually her talking about cures for breast cancer.
No, you misunderstood. When I said tongue-in-cheek, I wanted her to put her tongue in your cheek because it'd be hot.
Your experience for two British teens was tragically cut short after an acid attack left them badly burned. Katie G and Kirsty Trupp both
are both now Batman villains.
18 years old.
Katie G's a freaking rap artist in England.
All right, listen carefully to what happened because you guys missed a prep. Listen.
A volunteer experience for two British teens was tragically cut short after an acid attack left them badly burned. Katie
oh my
G and
God,
Kirsty.
We're burning alive!
Wow, they had audio of that?
Kirsty Trupp, yep. Both 18 years old, had a toxic liquid hurled at their faces while sitting outside a.
It turned out to be Fanta.
They
yes.
were quoted as saying, "My eyes, the goggles, they
do
nothing."
So what, this is for like a parody prank show or something?
And yeah, it's a new prank show called Acid in the Face.
It's where we throw acid in
wash.
Your face.
Acid Wash starring O.J. Simpson.
Restaurant on the African island of Zanzibar.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Oh, Africa.
Restaurant on the African island of Zanzibar. Eyewitnesses say their two attackers fled the scene on a motorcycle. G and Trupp were taken to a hospital in the Tanzanian mainland with serious...
Which is equivalent to take him to a vet in America.
Yes, but not life-threatening injuries. The mother of one of the victims spoke to Sky News.
And you've spoken to your daughter, have you?
I've spoken to her, yeah.
And how is she?
Well, besides having acid thrown in her face in an African country, she's doing fantastic.
Now, why do they do that? Modeling career probably kind of like, you know, took a U-turn.
I've heard that Muslims will do this if they think a girl is like
a whore,
too pretty or something like that.
Yeah, they'll do that too.
So they don't get boulders. Her whole face and her whole body is burnt.
The women were 2 weeks into a month-long mission trip with a global charity group called Art in Tanzania. And while authorities say they don't yet know...
I wonder if it was an acid-based paint that they used.
Oh, man, you beat me to it. God damn it.
Dutch, come on. Badly what? Burned face? Acid? Eh?
A motive for the attack.
Oh, my God, we're burning alive!
Wow, they both said the same thing. That's weird.
Graph reports the teens had argued...
Freeze why they hang out, because they have the same voices.
Yeah, they both
everyone
sound like...
Everyone sounds the same.
You ever had that? You run into somebody, you're like, oh, my God, we have the exact same timbre. This is weird.
Yeah, it's really weird, except they both sound like Chris Farley.
Local shopkeeper days before, and Katie had separately been attacked for singing during Ramadan.
Well, I mean, you can't sing during Ramadan. Look, everyone... Look, now I know she deserved it now. Because if you sing during Ramadan, you're going to get acid in the face.
Hold on a second. Did it at the top of the thing, it said it was a something like a volunteer to...
Here.
Something went wrong at the beginning?
Here.
Say they don't yet know a motive for the attack. The Telegraph reports the teens had argued with a local shopkeeper days before, and Katie had separately been attacked for singing during Ramadan. According to the International Business Times, politically motivated acid attacks are fairly common in some African...
Really? They're fairly politically motivated acid attacks are fairly common in Africa.
Wait, because, so she had been attacked.
Professor Clouseau, acid cop.
Hold on.
So she gotten beaten up once before for singing during Ramadan?
Yes.
As she should.
What are
I don't know what you're talking about.
So we're talking about
obviously
common African attacks.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Common, the rapper, has been attacking people in Africa. You missed
with
it.
With acid.
With acid.
You know what
with
I can imagine? Beats? You know what I could imagine? There's very few of in Africa.
White people?
Credit cards.
Well, but you know what there is, though?
Because bad credit, because racial humor.
Shopkeeper days before, and Katie had separately been attacked for singing during Ramadan. According to the International Business Times, politically motivated acid attacks are fairly common in some African countries.
Yes.
It's just really impractical these days to find a good monkey to throw at a bitch's face.
You're right. And monkeys are too delicious to just throw in people's faces.
I mean, monkeys don't always do what you want them to do. Yeah. Sometimes they just run away and find a banana.
Tanzania included.
Or they'll rip your face
Last
off.
Year, both a government leader and a Muslim cleric were injured in
Walked
similar
into
attacks.
A bar.
And didn't drink.
The bar relies heavily on tourism, with some 75,000 British tourists every year. The island's conservative Muslim population has been known to object to tourists wearing skimpy clothing. Both G and Trey
Wow,
object-
that sounds like something you never want to invite to a party. A conservative Muslim. The island's conservative Muslim party. They sound like a hoot. Those are guys you want to drink with.
If you want to object to everything.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Well, why would
there's not three
there,
beheadings at the end of the night. It wasn't a good time. They behead people. I don't know what they do.
If they, if it's like a common thing that they're attacking tourists, why are there any more tourists?
I don't know. I was actually just reading an article that one of our fans
whoa,
posted.
Whoa,
in the
whoa, 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 whoa!
I know. I read. It's weird.
Okay.
Wait. Back up. What's an article?
It's something with words.
Wait. What's a fan?
Oh boy.
What's acid, by the way?
Sorry, go ahead.
You guys are exhausting. Sorry, try to keep ahead. Up here.
Okay.
Like the top 15, the top 15 most dangerous places to visit, and it's all Africa and the Middle
and
East
Detroit.
And Russia. No, not Detroit. Oh, and
it has to be
both Haiti and the Dominican Republic. But it's all like, yeah, people will just murder you. Just don't go there.
I mean, I wasn't planning on it. I wasn't planning on going to these places where people get murdered.
Guess which was number one.
What? I don't know.
Guess. It's more fun to guess.
Number one.
The number Bronx. One most dangerous place to be.
Most dangerous
in
place
the world?
Like, don't go visit this country.
Oh, hey, guy, a Macy's on Black Friday, right, ladies?
Apparently.
Dutch, high five.
Got it.
To answer your question, apparently a volcano is safer. But we're talking countries
Wait,
here.
Making someone watch the movie Volcano Joe.
Yes, also safer than going to one of these countries.
No way.
It's very
have
safe.
Have you seen Volcano Joe?
I have.
Meg Ryan
my
is
own
in
home.
It. Did you know that?
I know that.
Okay.
I think it was Joe versus the Volcano.
Okay, I give up. Delta City.
You didn't even try to guess. It was Iraq.
Nah, Cadillac Heights, man. Cadillac Heights.
Come on, I'll guess. I'll guess. Is it... This is a real guess here. Somewhere in Montana.
But I already said it was Iraq.
Iraq, Montana.
Yes. Is it Iraq, Montana?
Yes, it is Iraq, Montana.
Oh, you got it, Ryan.
Followed by Afghanistan.
Ring a bell or something.
Yeah, Dutch, ring a
high
bell.
High fives all round.
It's followed by Afghanistan.
All right, next story.
Connecticut, Afghanistan.
From our pals at Newsy.
If you're looking to be one of the first to visit Spain's almost completed 47-story skyscraper, don't forget your walking shoes because someone forgot the elevator. The building in Tempo, one of Europe's tallest residential high-rises, was meant to represent an economic turnaround for the country and to be...
Yes, Marie.
Sorry, if you're building something 47 stories tall, once you get to the 30th floor, don't you be like, wait a minute.
I
know.
I think we're forgetting something.
I know what we forgot. The sandwiches we left downstairs.
I thought it was just a big garbage chute.
I just, I took some creative liberties. I thought... that instead of an elevator, if we had a really 40-foot tall stripper pole, bitches could be sliding down that shit.
So the people that are building the skyscraper
are from Brooklyn.
Okay.
They're Brooklyn. Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
Brooklyn Spaniards.
That's how bad the economy is here.
A, quote, standard for the future. But as El País points out, it has now become the story of a cluster.
Yes.
Is El País their police or is she just saying the country?
No, it's a delicious rice dish with chicken.
No, you're thinking of paella.
Oh, yeah. I love that shit. With hot sauce.
Okay.
Of incompetence.
Designers say the condo was initially meant to be 20 stories high, but when they decided to move skyward, developers neglected to reconfigure their plans.
With 94% of the structure.
It was supposed to be 20 stories and they still didn't think an elevator was necessary?
No, it... Just listen.
After finished, the architects responsible for the mess up have resigned, but the construction woes only begin there. New York Daily News points out the project's funding comes from Sareb, known as the Bad Bank in Spain.
Now it's the world's largest paintball arena.
You really don't want to be known as the Bad Bank.
Well,
that's a terrible reputation. Focus
on hey, yo, but because of Obama now, all the banks are bad. Am I right, guys?
Oh!
You don't like Tea Party Royce? He's the best guy.
Celebrate good Obama. Come on! It's Obama, Obama.
Toxic estate assets. The bad banks would be entitled to bailouts from the European Union for payments of their purchase assets that are damaged. Essentially, bad banks are like real estate paper shredders. Saexa Galicia was the initial backer of the blemished project, but went 4 months without paying workers after the elevator mishap was realized. The elevator-less apartment complex will include 269 homes, 35% of which are already sold. As for the elevator issue, there's still no official...
Yeah, but everyone that lives here is going to have some banging calves and glutes. I'll tell you that.
Right?
They're going to be banging.
They didn't put an elevator in at all.
At all. There's still no elevator there.
None.
There's elevators for three-story places, and they didn't think, even initially with the 20 stories, that they wouldn't need a fucking elevator.
Yeah, but that's Spain. That's Spain, and we're America.
This is America.
In America, we need people to take us everywhere, or machines to take us everywhere.
Yeah, they're too busy having us.
And in Spain,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Spain, they're just so athletic because they take naps during lunchtime.
Yeah, siestas.
Or maybe they were so... thrilled to actually get a bid on their design that they just rushed into it, like, oh man, someone finally took our shit. All right, let's build this shit.
Well, then you don't build 20 stories, don't put an elevator in, and then continue to build another 20. Like,
if you keep giving me money, I'm gonna keep adding stories. It don't matter how you get
John's
up there,
right? He's
got
to make the money. You got to make that paper, as the kids say.
I don't understand how you're gonna you can get approved for a building 20 stories tall and just be like, fuck it, double it.
Hey, Ryan, Ryan, are you still there? Okay, I guess not.
Is he off again?
No, he's there. Now he just doesn't feel like talking.
He's not on camera or on mic or on anything.
Ryan is such a dum-dum.
Man finds $6,900 in a parking lot. Here's what he does with it. Okay, before we find out what he did with it, what would you do if you found $6,900 cash?
Yeah, 69.
In a parking lot.
So close to $7,000.
Yeah,
cash?
7 G's. Yeah, cash.
I'd say, hey, I found $3,000 in the parking lot.
Well, you're better than me. What would you do, Dutch?
I would. How do we find someone to launder our money? No.
for $7,000 would be great.
Yeah,
you'd be the worst.
To launder that much.
I'll tell you how you launder $7,000. You go to a strip club for one night, and it's laundered. Because it's going to end up in some bitch's laundry. Oh! Sorry.
Well, here's the thing. I would just use cash for, like, regular purchases from then on out.
Yeah, obviously.
And then just let my, you know, my bank account gets swole and then buy something.
Gets swole.
Right.
Paper trail.
Would go to my E-Trade account and invest it in mutual funds.
You're so boring. That's found money. You don't invest found money. You spend found money.
And when my found money doubles in assets, then fuck you.
No, you spend it on frivolous things, you idiot. Like a slip and slide.
E-Trade is frivolous.
You know, I've always wanted a jumpy castle. I think I'm meant to be the first. No, and they're pretty shady people that sell those things anyway, so I'm pretty sure they would take cash straight up.
A bounce house?
An adult castle. No, yeah. I want an adult.
A jumpy castle. You called it a jumpy castle?
Can somebody look up if they make adult bounce houses? Because I want to invest in that.
They do.
Really?
They're called kids' bounce houses. Anybody can go in them.
No. You don't understand what I'm saying.
No, but they make adult bounce houses, and they make them strong enough so that kids can have their parents go in there with them because some kids are too scared to go in by themselves.
By the way, my brother got a jumpy castle for his kid's birthday earlier this summer. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. They're so much fun, and I broke my back.
You didn't actually break your back?
Well, it was like a jumpy. It was like a jumpy maze slash castle. It was this huge, big, dumb thing. My brother always likes to go over the top for his kid's birthday.
Right.
So
take it to the limit.
Towards the end, it was like, you know, it was something out of Double Dare, and you know we're
super
running
sloppy
through.
Double Dare.
We told the kids to get the fuck out, and you know the adults were having more fun on that thing. So, but don't try to do a somersault off the top of the slide because there's no give at the very end, and I hurt myself.
Did you hurt your tailbone?
I hurt my tailbone.
Aww,
you break your coccyx?
I don't
know. Probably.
Is it bruised?
It was earlier this summer.
Better go
I'm
catch
okay
it.
Now.
You better go catch it.
Dude, everything on this computer is just breaking.
Oh, Ryan. So Ryan, here's what I meant to ask you before you rebooted. You're down with the slang, right? Like with the kids. You keep your ear to the street.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You keep your ear to the street.
I keep it tight.
Okay, he keeps it tight. Dope, right? You keep it dope? Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's how I describe my thumb ring.
Okay.
I really want to reach it.
I know he's kidding. I know he's kidding, but I hate him. I
want to hurt you right now.
Ryan, what is twerking?
What is
you know what
twerking
is?
No, bro. People have been saying twerking all over Twitter, and
you
I'm
don't know what twerking is.
I'm assuming twerking
is when you Twitter while you work.
Okay,
no, that's
I twerk all the time.
I twerk a lot.
I'm a twerker.
You don't know what twerking is?
I'm assuming it's some sort of dance. But all the kids,
it's basically they gave a name. You know, like when the girls do the booty shake, where they just like just their ass moves.
Ah, hold on. When I was a kid, they would call that. No. That was called making your ass clap. That's not now. That's what twerking is called.
Yeah. Make a clap.
Here, you know what? And if actually, I posted this on my I posted this on my Twitter the other day. It's that surfer chick who was twerking while she was warming up. Here.
Okay.
Oh. You copy.
Just send it in.
I'll just put it in the chat room.
Okay.
Dutch, did you get that clip I wanted you to get? Because it's great. It's from Demolition.
You told
Man.
Me you didn't get anything.
How about you read Skype?
Oh, just now?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, okay.
What is it? What is the clip that you sent?
Oh, just go 13 seconds in. It's from Demolition Man. Leah and I were watching Demolition Man, and this clip came up, and she called me to remind me today, by the way, don't forget to add this clip in for your show.
All right, Dutch, 13 seconds. Play it.
All right, hold on.
I'll
just play the whole thing.
I want to find Phoenix. I'm going to put him in a Hurt Locker. So you want to come with me, or you want to arrest me, huh?
Okay, I'm with you. Let's go blow this guy.
Let's go blow this guy. It's so nice and clear. It's perfect.
Nice. I like that.
All right. What would you do if you found
Let's go blow this guy.
What would you do if you stumbled upon nearly $7,000? So, Ryan, you're back on. If you found $7,000 cash, what would you do with it?
Are we going
I'd
around
first
the table?
Start twerking.
Okay.
And then.
We've pretty
wait,
much.
So what do we decide twerking was? What do we.
Just it's look the in the
ass
chat room.
Move. Just look at the video I put in the chat room.
Okay. Chat room.
Fine.
Ass shaking.
Just type in twerk. All right. It's all over the internet.
I don't want any sort of vulgar things on my history, so I won't type it in.
Miley Cyrus is into it.
Wait, Miley Cyrus twerks?
Cyrus. Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus twerks?
A little twerking dance.
My right, silence so is always twerking.
So are we just going around the table? What we would do?
Well,
if
we've already been around
$7,000?
The table. Your turn. Go.
Wait, just like where? Like just on the floor?
In an envelope on the floor in a parking lot. All those things.
I would immediately want to keep it and spend it, but I would imagine it's dropped off for some sort of drug deal or like weapons, and I don't want to get killed, so I'd probably just leave it. Or at least I would replace the envelope with fake money and say, this is not fake money. You'd leave a note in there to clear up confusion.
But they're going to know it's fake when they try to use it and they tell them it's fake money. You're going to probably be in worse.
You're going to kill the guy who left it.
By like then, I will already have bought my yacht. I'd be somewhere in the Caribbean.
It's $7,000, Ryan. You can't do all those things.
That's fine. A small yacht.
No, not even a... Ryan, you would be out there in an inflatable plastic raft.
Fine.
With sandwiches.
I would be in a 1998 Toyota Tercel with a picture of a yacht.
That's not bad. That's a good life. One California man flexed his ethical muscle when he found in return an envelope containing...
That's not a real muscle.
Containing $6,900 in the parking lot of a department at the Department of Motor Vehicles. Last week, Beck Reeves... Okay, that sounds fake. 46 and his wife, Sarah Reeves... That's even faker. Of someplace in California. Pulled into the parking lot of the DMV to swap Breck's... Arizona driver's license for a California one, and he spied a thick, plain white envelope laying on the ground next to his tire. It had $6,900 in it. He said, "I saw the envelope, but it looked suspicious, so I ignored it." Reeves told the, "It looked suspicious, so I ignored it. But when I came back to the car, it was still there, and I put it in my pocket." Reeves and his wife drove to Walmart to buy groceries, and Reeves opened the envelope in the car. "I was shocked. How could this be someone's life? This could be someone's life savings. I kept counting it until it was almost $7,000.
He can count that high?
Wait, somebody's life savings is $6,900? That's pretty shitty life.
That sucks. Yeah.
It's a really bad life.
By the way, I'm going to pull a Ryan real quick and just say, just look at the video I just posted. It's called Twogging. It's twerking with dogs.
Yes.
I haven't seen it yet, but it's already my favorite video.
It's at the very bottom part of the thing everyone else is posting, but pull up that video. Twogging. Twerking with dogs.
No.
Hold on. I'm trying to pull up twogging so everyone can see it. Here, give me a sec.
Oh, I'm so excited for
this. It's just dogs getting involved with
twerking. I've never heard of twogging.
I'm so excited.
That's twerking. Okay.
Oh, it's not dogs actually doing the twerking. It's
twerking with dogs.
All right, here we go.
So this is a video posted of dogs twerking, aka twogging.
No, it's not dogs. Oh, no. It's not dogs doing anything.
Dogs getting up in the ass of girls who are twerking.
It's the dog doing the normal, "Hey, pay attention to me" bit.
Okay, I love... What's it called again? Twogging? I love twogging.
What I appreciate is how unattractive all of the girls are.
Except for the one wearing the rain poncho.
I haven't made it to the rain poncho yet. I'm still at the underage ones. I'm assuming they're all underage.
You know, some of these, the dogs are not getting involved. Hold it's on. The owners that are putting their butt in their face.
Did you see
that
one black lady who went around like her ancestors, just straight monkey? My God.
Marie.
What?
Get your phone out. Get Vine ready. I'm about to go twogging with Yuki. Give me a second. I'll keep this playing.
Right now?
Yes.
You're going to twog?
Right now. Marie. Right now.
It's like a form of like bestiality.
But I'm not even wearing
any
booty pants.
I just made it to twatting.
You're going to do it.
Yeah, the cats. They get cats involved, too.
Guys, keep it going. Keep it going.
Dogs getting there. Look at that little guy.
Nice. That was a really good video.
I enjoyed that video very much.
If I could describe that video in one hyphenated word, it would be family appropriate.
Did Boyce really not know what twerking was until today?
No, I didn't know what the word was. I thought it was just called, like Roy said, making that ass clap. That's what we called it when we were kids.
Yeah, I know. They just gave it a name as of recent. And it's become like a phenomenon. Wow, she's got a nice butt. And now the dog's humping her. Jesus Christ.
All right. Wow, Royce is going to have the worst twogging video ever. Best. It is going to be so bad.
Wait, can that be our homework? Can we all have to make and submit a twogging video?
Yeah, but Joel doesn't have a dog.
I don't have a dog. You know what? There's a lot of dogs
just
around.
Borrow a dog. There's dogs everywhere.
That's
the dog.
What I'm saying. Yeah, there's a really
go to the
big
humane society.
John, do really it with your cat.
No, that's it. I'm going to go down to the rescue thing. Farm.
The rescue shelter? Rescue farm?
The rescue farm?
Rescue rangers.
Okay, well, you know what? The twogging's already been done. We need to start our own phenomenon. Something brave. How about twearing? That's where you do it with a bear.
How about twishing?
Are you doing it with a fish?
Yeah, I got like a whole koi pond. I can just like jump in my pond.
Just twog with a fish?
Okay, how about twadzing? That's where you do it with used syringes.
No, I don't.
No?
No.
Technically, Royce, technically I can do twobstering because it's lobster season right now. So I can get my GoPro. I can go under the water and I can twerk it with lobsters.
Okay, you know
how
what?
How about you have somebody hold a lobster? You twerk on the lobster until he pinches your asshole.
Okay, how about this? How about nobody tells anybody on the show what animal we're doing it with, and then we submit it next week.
Fair enough.
So twobstering. Even though you already told us, John, that would be the greatest thing in the world if you were twerking underwater with a lobster.
But I found like full living room like sets underwater, like chairs and everything. It's just like a dumpster down there.
Oh, a South Florida beach, a dumpster? Well, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised we haven't found bodies yet.
Now, what if I do something called twiggering?
Which one's that one?
I don't know what you're referring to there.
What?
Wait, I don't get. What's the eggering?
Oh, you do it with a trigger with a trigger in your hand. It's a gun.
Oh,
whoa! What?
With my AK?
Where were you going?
What did you? You fucking racist, Ryan.
Racist piece of shit.
You are a racist.
Whoa! I was asking the question. Wait, why did you guys think I was going somewhere racist? I'm confused.
Yeah, sexual
racist. You racist SO bitches.
Royce, so you're saying I should dance with my new assault rifle?
Yeah, by the way,
I've decided that's my new favorite thing in the world is taking an acronym and only pronouncing one of the words.
Oh my God.
Just any word. You know, like, it's always great. SO bitch is pretty good. I also like
that I've been going.
F your eye is also really good.
That's not bad.
The thing I've been going with for a while is saying, like, I called her the cunt word. Or
well,
he called
me
the nigger word, or you know what I mean? Like, actually say the word, but say word afterward, which softens it. So.
It does. It does kind of make it better. It does.
Slightly.
All right. Well, we're going to have to go to break here, guys. Coming up after the break.
No!
We do. Sorry, guys. Coming up after the break, we have.
We're going to see Royce's twogging video.
Well, it's already on Vine, so you can check it out during the break.
You're a twat word.
Well, that. Coming up after the break, we have the co-creator of Axe Cop, Ethan Nicole, is going to be on the phone around 8:15. He'll be Skyping with us, not even calling, Skyping, like a baller.
Awesome!
Baller status.
Like a boss.
All right, Marie.
Like an Oregonian.
Take us to break. More like radio.
More like radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were gonna say that, and I was gonna ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRTees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRTEES. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's Tee Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTees.
3, 2, 1. Welcome to the No Name Show. My name is King.
I'm Slashly.
Fuck your face.
Oh, I was trying to get this person to see my penis.
I want my asshole numbed if you're gonna be shoving some huge thing in it. Like,
oh, what was I told her I beat her 3 times in Woods and Friends. I think that means I get to see your boobs.
If you wouldn't suck your own dick, why would you want? Why
okay,
would you
let me phrase that. No, I'm surprised that there are any girls who actually do want to suck my dick.
The No Name Show, Mondays 5 p.m. only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? It's your boy Footer from The Red Show. Make sure you check us out every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on our brand new home, More Like Radio. Give us a call. We are very caller friendly. We love our fans.
All right, caller, what's up? You are live on The Red More Like Radio. What's up?
What's up, superstar?
Oh, is that Bull?
That it is.
Boom.
My man, Bull. One of my favorite humans in the whole entire world. My man, Bull. What's up, brother?
Not a whole lot, man.
How you feeling?
Feeling pretty good, man. I'm doing a lot better, bro.
The last we knew from Bull, you were, you went to rehab on your own, got yourself cleaned up a little bit, and that's been, what, just a little over a week, am I wrong?
Quitter.
Yep.
Fucking quitter.
8 days for my family, that's the main reason. I had a P-Rock Footer K times 100 moment about 2 weeks ago, and I...
We don't give a fuck. I hope you relapsed. Burn in hell, Bull.
Oh, my God. What are you...
I meant I love you, bro. Get better. That's what I meant.
Hold on.
What happened?
And I'm the asshole? Hold on a minute.
So call in. Get to know us. The Red. Every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock East, following Hippo Juice.
Hippo Juice, nigga!
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
Here at More Like Radio, we're all radio professionals, especially Kevin from Alcohol by Volume. Marvel as he winds his way through the twists and turns of Skype.
Well, you're about to get a Skype call, by the
way. Here we go. Answering the call.
So, yeah, not to interrupt this exciting hockey talk, but what's going on, guys?
And call not found, and he dropped me. That's fantastic.
It's under the impression this was a drunk show, not bore everyone that's listening show.
Well, I'm still in the process of drinking. I think we lost Kevin, or Kevin decided to be lost.
You're still in the process of boring people.
And I just realized I put Dennis on hold somehow.
Say,
this is that nightmare that I've been having of at some point finally getting on call and talking to somebody and being on air and everybody else just dropping. Dennis is back
there
now.
There you guys are.
Sorry, Dennis.
Wow, fucking radio professional over here doesn't know how to add people to conference.
Alcohol by Volume, Tuesdays, 6 to 8 p.m. only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey kids, what's going on? Big Phil here. We got the Man Cave Radio Show. Listen to us every friggin' Sunday, 8 to 10 a.m. exclusively on morelikeradio.com. What's your favorite naked teen station? It's morelikeradio.com. Jesus Christ, I'm gonna blow a blood vessel.
Steve, do you think you could say this line here? This line here.
OSW Review, an old school wrestling podcast that won't kidnap you and kill you.
Just emphasize won't, so it makes it sound like our competition will kill you.
OSW Review, an old school wrestling podcast that won't kidnap and kill you.
And you're listening to More Like Radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you.
Yeah, we were trying. I was trying to warn you the whole time,
dude. I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not use this into a promo? I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used drunk me for a promo too. You remember?
Punch AJ, you play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
To the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio.
All right, Grey Diamond. You can tell your story now.
Oh, for real? Oh, you're not going to regret this. Like Army Chihuahua's friend, Sergeant T, I too once knew someone in the Great Chicken Head War. Totally different dude. His name was Sergeant G. History will remember him as a great fighter. But I will remember him as the guy that was my best friend. At his funeral, his mother gave me his brain. And I thought, what am I going to do with this? But then I got an idea. I'm going to make his brain half lion, half man. And then I decided also there should be some cheetah in there because cheetahs are super fast. So I went to the jungle and I knocked out a lion and a cheetah because, like I mentioned before, they're super fast. And I put that brain into a cybernetic body with a lion's head and created the ultimate soldier slash best friend. I called him Liborg.
Okay, so where is this Liborg now?
Well, before we all got captured, I happened to push this button on my best friend calling watch. So he should be here right about now.
Liborg!
Whoa, what took you so long, bro? Just kidding. Thanks for getting here so fast, man. High five.
Thanks for giving me half a cheetah's brain.
Back live on Hippo Juice. The number to call in is 954-573-2780 or hashtag Hippo Juice on Twitter to get in contact with the program. Yes.
Program.
Yes.
Pilgrim.
Pilgrim. Coming up here in about 10 minutes. We
Nine, 8 minutes.
Are going to have Ethan Nicole, co-creator of Axe Cop.
Nice.
That was a clip from the first episode.
That was a clip. Well, one of the first episodes.
Very nice.
Yes. So we have a little bit of time, to fill. So I'll go through a couple of these.
So let's just talk about our day. How was your day, Marie?
My day was fine. Thanks, Ryan, for asking. I guess
really good.
It's weird of you.
How about you, Dutch? How was your day?
I was very, very tired today.
Why, Dutch? Well, why were you so tired?
I only got an hour of sleep last night.
Why'd you only get an hour of sleep?
Probably up all night playing video games.
Yeah, or smoking the reefer.
Smoking the marijuana drug.
Bro, are you on the dope? Like, be honest with me, Dutch. If you're on the dope, I know it's legal there. And if you're on the dope, I need to know because...
I've never been a big pot guy.
Hey, let me tell you. It might be legal in Colorado, but you know who it's not legal with? Our Lord Jesus Christ.
I don't believe in that.
Well, you don't believe in what? Pot? It's real. I mean, it exists.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I could show you pictures of it.
It is like legit real, Dutch. You're a weird person, Dutch.
You're so strange.
Yeah, you really.
Colorado's made you go colo crazy.
Oh snap!
Oh, you want some ice to put on that sick burn?
Oh snap! Oh, I'm so sorry, Dutch. You don't know Ryan's so cruel.
Own greenhouses, and you're like a botanist and crap, and you still don't know pot's real?
I don't own greenhouses.
Well, what do you
read a book?
That's not what I was talking about.
He builds greenhouses with his bare hands.
I build orphanages with my bare hands.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that's just, by the way, we've said it before, that's just so you could pick up chicks.
Yeah.
Yep.
You don't have
And it worked.
Well, yeah, good for you. Good. By the way, did you tell Kelly, your current girlfriend, did you let her know that you build orphanages? And was she like, oh my God, that's so awesome? Because Kelly doesn't seem like the type to fall for that bullshit. I'm going to be honest with you. She doesn't seem like the type to fall for that bullshit.
She is a complete and utter idiot.
She's a sociopath. No. She's a sociopath like you. She is. She's a sociopath like you.
She's a therapist. That's,
right. Like I said, a sociopath.
I tell girls that I build orphanages also.
Orphanages?
And it normally doesn't work because of that example of me not being able to pronounce the word. That's my drawback.
You really disappoint me sometimes.
Really? Because I disappoint me all the time. So it's funny, there's times that you're not disappointed
in
me.
Hold on a second. I want to hear that word
back. Can you go back? Is that one here?
Orphanages.
Orphanages.
Orphan sausages.
See, here's the thing.
Give me a second to find it.
Okay, go ahead.
After orphanage, there's orphanages, which is even harder to build and holds more children.
No, Ryan, it's not like SimCity. It's not an upgrade.
No, it's for orphans that sin a lot. It's the
or as
sinners.
Leah says, it's an orphanage for orphises. So,
well, okay, it doesn't even make sense, guys. You
no,
guys
it's for whores with nowhere to go.
What the hell are we talking about? Well, God damn it.
We're talking about twabstering.
Whores belong on the streets.
That's right. Yeah.
By the way, I have it if you guys
okay, yes, please.
Oh, wait. Oh, I lost it. Here you go.
Awesome. You're dumb. You said something
like
that happened.
A sociopath.
Don't worry. I tell girls that I build orphanages
nice.
Also.
Orphanages? He said it twice. He said the best part is.
Can you get the sound drop to the guy going, correct, and just say it, have it go immediately after I say that. Don't worry. I tell girls that I build orphanages also.
Orphanages?
And it normally doesn't work because here's of that example. Right. Here's the best part. I had a chance to redeem myself, and I said
and
the word
said it
wrong
twice.
The second time.
No.
I said it wronger. I went the other way. Don't worry. I tell girls that I build orphanages also.
Orphanages?
And... Orphan a sausage.
I like
dude,
how your chick
I'm just
starts
I'm
laughing.
I'm just holding
at you
a lonely sausage.
The second you said it wrong, your chick just starts laughing at you in the background.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. She has a microphone. She's being nice.
Hi.
Can we say hi to her before
oh,
we get
hi.
There?
Yes, say hi to her.
I just said hi first.
Hi.
Hey. Hi.
How are you?
I'm actually awful right now, but...
Why are you... Oh, you're sitting next to Ryan. That makes
you
sense.
You want to talk about it?
Well... We're talking about homes for orifices. He screwed me all up.
Orifices. Hold on, one more time.
I tell girls that I build orifices.
Orifice.
Orifices.
And it normally doesn't work. That's pretty good. I was pretty close, though.
Not even. You weren't even remotely near the word.
Never mind. It's fine.
How about we do hashtag... Tworfinages. That's where you do it with a bunch of orphans.
You twerk with orphans? I'm down. Let's do it.
And a lobster. Tworfinage lobstering.
I knew there was a reason I liked you, Ryan.
That's why, because I want to inappropriately dance with children with no parents. Yes.
By the way, have you listened to the show before? What's your name again? I apologize.
Who? Me?
Girl. Other girl.
No, the other stranger on our show.
Yeah, the other people that we talk to every week, always.
Okay. It's Leah.
Leah? Okay, Leah. Have you listened to our show before tonight?
No.
Never once.
Never once. Okay.
Ryan,
what do you think of
show.
Ryan's performance so far, aside from that botch he had earlier?
Honestly, I'm bored.
She's honest and accurate. That's what I like.
Well, Ryan hasn't bored. Been on his A game, so.
Ryan hasn't been on his C game.
Mm.
For cunt?
How are you going to let them talk to you like this, Ryan?
I don't know.
Stand up for your... Get some confidence, stupid.
Now I just feel bad. I'm going to defend myself. My friends don't like me.
When you don't do a single show all summer, I mean, we have a right to be a little bitter.
Okay, that's my fault. I'm sorry.
Yep. That's her fault.
You
she's sorry.
Bitch!
That was you? I didn't even know. I was clueless to this fact, but I put two and two together. I mean, one and one. I don't know. How does it go?
She's smart. She's a math major, actually.
Really? I could tell.
Yeah. When's he supposed to call in, by the way?
We got him in 2 minutes. We're going to Skype him, so.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to relax.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just do it,
all right,
really.
Let's do it. All right, Marie.
What
he's really angry.
What if we surprise him?
2 minutes early, still naked.
2 minutes early, dicks.
Bro, I was blow drying my hair. No, call him.
What if he pulled a Bruce Willis on us?
I know.
By the way, have you guys seen, like,
I'm calling.
Not only were like Sly Stallone
Dutch,
and all these guys coming
Dutch, out. Jesus. Told me to call, so I'm calling.
waiting until it picked up, and I was just going to talk about Bruce Willis and maybe get his take on Bruce Willis. But apparently Kevin Smith says he's a piece of shit, too.
We weren't talking about lenses. We weren't talking about you being a piece of shit, Ethan.
We were talking about Bruce Willis being a piece of shit.
Sorry, we're talking about Bruce Willis. Have you seen all that nonsense that's been going on with him recently?
About Expendables 2?
Yes.
Yeah.
Three. Expendables 3.
No, 3, yeah, yeah. Did he just want to do it?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, like him and Sylvester Stallone were twittering angrily at each other or something like that.
Yeah, not only that, though, but apparently I guess Kevin Smith said he was a diva on the set of Cop Out as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing something about it, too. I read something.
Well, Ethan's not our Hollywood reporter. Let's say hi, Ethan. How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'd like to have a guest.
I have a bit of a Bruce Willis fascination. I'll admit that.
And every man who ever saw Die Hard, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what Bruce Willis deserves? He wanted $1 million a day. By the way, that was his problem.
That's fair. Yeah. I guess apparently I know everything you guys are telling me right now.
Yeah. Well, we frequent the same Ain't It Cool news sites.
I guess so.
No, we have Ethan Nicole on, co-creator of the Axe Cop comic book and now TV show, which is on Fox ADHD Saturday nights.
Hello.
How you doing? So we're all big fans. There's different levels here. I've known about the comic book for years and been reading it. I know I'm a hipster when it comes to that. But everyone else here has seen the TV show, and now they're all into it. So I guess let's start with the thing you've probably answered a million times in the past 3 years, just to give background to the listeners.
Are you gay?
Okay, that's not the question.
Wait, that's not the question?
No.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
Come on, let's be serious. Boxers or briefs? No. How did Axe Cop come about?
Well, it was me and my brother on Christmas playing together, and He wanted to play with a toy axe, but he wanted to play cops. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a toy gun handy.
Makes sense.
He had toy guns around, but he had an axe, and he goes, can we play Axe Cop? And it had been a thing that I kind of been playing with in the back of my head. He just said funny things all the time, and I was like, sometime I got to draw one of these into a comic. And when he said that, I just got this picture in my head of a cop with an axe, like a very serious cop. I mean, just the way Axe Cop looks, the stash and the shades. And I said, well, sure, let's do it. And Flute Cop came next because he said that was the next nearest toy. So whatever toy was close was the next kind of cop we became. And we had some toy dinosaurs, so we fought some dinosaurs. And then the whole idea of getting blood on each other, causing it to transform, kind of came out of that. And Flute Cop became Dinosaur Soldier. And I drew a page of the comic just goofing off. I never in the back of my mind, anywhere in my mind, thought that this was going to be something I'd be doing very many more of, or becoming published by Dark Horse Comics, or becoming a TV show on Fox. It was just like, I mean, that's why I drew it so sloppy.
No, it's crazy. And you know, when you look at the cast here too, and especially every episode has someone else, like I'll hear that voice. I know that. And then I look at it and go, oh man, that's Jonathan Banks, or, you know, like it's crazy the people you get. And by the way, I would say this is probably one of the best casting choices, because when I saw Axe Cop, Nick Offerman's voice is kind of the voice I heard anyway in the comic book. So it was just, it perfectly fit his character.
Yeah, he was ready to go to be Axe Cop before the show was even, I mean, a thing. Like, he had contacted me before the TV show deal even was talked about, and he was a fan. And he took me out to lunch, and he talked it up. I mean, he loves it. He loves Axe Cop, like, genuinely loves it. Like, we had our first meeting about the show, and it was the coolest thing. He walks into the room, and he has all the Axe Cop books. And they're like tattered, like he has read them cover to cover many times.
I told
little notes, like little sticky notes on all the pages, like for all his favorite moments that he wants to make sure to make for the show. Like, he loves Axe Cop.
How weird was that for you to have someone that, you know, has been in so many different movies and you know, obviously the hit TV show that he's on right now, but like for him to walk in to be like him kind of geeking out on your shit?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a wild ride because early on, when Axe Cop first went viral, it just kind of became really weird because people that I followed on Twitter suddenly were acknowledging that I existed, like Simon Pegg and the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000, who I've always been. I've been like a huge geek for Mystery Science Theater 3000.
We are humongous. We are humongous Riff Trax fans. We love those guys.
Yeah, I love Riff Trax. And I'm like really good friends with Mike Nelson now. Like, he's one of my best buds.
God, I hate you.
It was so weird. For one day, I got a T-shirt order from Kevin Murphy. I can't be that Kevin Murphy. Like, that's a very common name. And then I saw on his Twitter, he said, "Look, check out the shirt I just bought." And it was a link back to my website. And it was so weird. Just like, also these people I've been following and like a fan of since like I was in like early high school or middle school, and now they're acknowledging my at least my character that I drew. It's, so that's been weird. And then Ken Marino, who plays Flute Cop, sorry, I'm like talking a ton, but there's so much.
No, go for it.
Tell you. He actually stood in line to meet me at Comic-Con.
Wow. You mean Ron Donald waited to see you?
Yeah, like and admittedly, I'm really, like, I hadn't really watched Parks and Rec. I hadn't seen anything that Ken was in. I had just seen, I know he had Twittered me a couple times. And I'm like, oh, this guy must be famous. He's got a lot of followers. And I hadn't seen his work. Like, he's amazing. He's hilarious. And so I don't watch a lot of TV and stuff like that. So, like, I just, because I spend so much time drawing comics. But yeah, these people came out of the woodwork. And the three big guys, the main guys who, they all wanted to be Axe Cop before the TV show ever happened, were Peter Serafinowicz, who, big, awesome British comedian and actor. And then Ken Marino, and then Nick Offerman. All of them had been talking to me for a while before the show happened. So they were all already on board, ready to go, and they did amazing. I mean, I think all their voices have been amazing. Peter Serafinowicz, I don't know if everybody realizes it, but in the Zombie Island episode,
yes,
he does a bunch of voices in that. He does, like, the whole opening scene is all him. Like, he's Hitler, and he's Chemist M. And then he's also, who else is he in that episode?
I don't know. I wrote it.
He's like everybody, yeah, he's everybody with an accent. Basically,
let me ask you a question though. Out of all the celebrities you got to be, you know, to voice, like, which one made you lose your mind? Which one was like, "Wow, really? You want to do my thing?" Like, who is the one that made you lose your mind?
Because I'm such a big fan of Breaking Bad, and I'm not a big fan of many things, but I have been a big fan of Breaking Bad, and it just seems surreal, like. Gus playing Army Chihuahua. Like, that's,
oh man, that was Gus. Amazing. Hold on, I didn't know. I loved Army Chihuahua. As a matter of fact, I made a little rejoinder for the show with a little clip from it. But that was the guy who played Gus from Breaking Bad. I loved him. It was great.
Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito.
Yep.
Wow, I did not.
I've worked with him before. He's a really nice guy.
That is you. That it's crazy. In this little, it's basically what every episode's about. What, 10 minutes or so, give or take.
Yeah, like I think it comes out to be 11 minutes.
Yeah, we were, you know, I was talking to Maria, and when we were watching, we were saying, you know, this is such a, this is one of those ideas that after you watch it, after you read the comic, you're like, how has somebody not thought of this before? And and I guess the question, and Marie brought it up too, was how much creative freedom do you give your little brother? Does he just give you everything and it's unfiltered, or do you filter it when you put it down on paper?
Well, he has complete creative freedom. It's my job to make it a entertaining comic that people want to keep reading.
Well, right. Actually,
none of that pressure's on him. It's just I get like a ton of material from him. If it's not working, I ask him more questions, or I go, "Well, say it happened more like this, then what would happen?" Or like I say, "Well, what if that guy didn't die? Then what would happen?" Or what if everybody didn't die? You know, because sometimes he'll just make everybody die and the story's over. So sometimes I have to like trick him into continuing the story or throw a wrench in. Or sometimes the story starts off with a question. Like I go, like, what would happen if Axe Cop got pulled over by normal police?
Normal police.
Think of him? Like, what do the normal police think of Axe Cop? So then we get a whole story going on. Bad Guy Earth started that way, which is a comic that we did, which is my favorite. If you guys haven't read it, it's my favorite Axe Cop story we did. It's an exclusive miniseries where I went and spent an entire month with my brother after X-Cop kind of became successful, and it's a month of playtime made into a massive, like, apocalyptic.
That was a Dark Horse one, correct?
Yeah, it's not on the site. It's only Dark Horse.
Yeah, I bought that one. I haven't read it yet. I was reading. I went through the entire site pretty much already, but. Something else, a little side thing, because I know you've also been working on Bearmageddon.
Yes, I'm actually trying to discreetly work on it as I talk to you right now.
Yeah, but that's okay. It's no problem.
Bearmageddon, is that like a Sharknado type thing?
No, Bearmageddon. Well, I mean, let Ethan explain. He's on the phone. You want to explain Bearmageddon?
It's another comic that I do. It's the one. It's my baby. Like, I write it and I draw it. It's mm-hmm. another web comic. It's actually the comic I was working on when Axe Cop took over my life. Like, I was planning to release Bearmageddon, and I wanted to kind of put my foot in the webcomics world and test it out first and mm-hmm. see, like, work out the kinks of a website and get the hang of it before I released my Bearmageddon comic. And so I did Axe Cop, and then Axe Cop exploded and
right.
set Bearmageddon aside, and then I jumped back in, and I've been doing both comics ever since. So right now it's just a webcomic, and there's just over 100 pages online you can read, and it's a fun kind of... I used like Shaun of the Dead as a model. Like, I'm a huge fan of those movies, so like a comedy horror action kind of genre. So for me, that's what I'm attempting. It's about a bunch of slackers who get caught in a bear apocalypse.
I love a bear apocalypse. Yeah, Ryan,
real quick, I just want to say this because I swear to God, myself and Lance from Lead Speakers about 2 weeks ago came up with a premise for something called Barricane, which was like Sharknado. So when you said Bearmageddon, I'm like, you already have Axe Cop. Don't steal this from me. I got nothing going on. I mean, I'm here. This is what I do. But it's totally different. Perhaps Bearmageddon could enter the world of a Barricane. Just
that
saying.
Could be a sequel, possibly.
Okay, good. Perfect. You already agreed to it like verbally, so you can't go back on it.
I like it. Like, the bears find the government's secret machine to control the weather. And they, like,
oh, yeah. And then they set it from hurricane to bear.
Well, what
I would
about
imagine
this?
That's one of the settings on the lever.
Not the
you have no hurricane, then bear.
So this machine is run by a lever. I'm sorry.
I'm not very educated.
Yeah, obviously, I could tell. But speaking of Simon Pegg, is he going to be making any voice appearances on Axe Cop? Since you guys are buddy buddy now,
well, he just tweeted Axe Cop a couple times. He's still too famous to like talk to me like casually.
Maybe when Axe Cop gets a season two, then maybe then.
Yeah, and
Simon Pegg's movie bombs
once in a while to answer and stuff. But yeah, help with Simon. But, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
It's now your little brother. He's 8 years old now, correct?
He's nine.
Nine. So have you seen the stories have changed? Have as he's gotten older, like, you know, the way he views the world, have they changed with him growing up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't. If you ever talk to like little kids, I mean, they're changing so rapidly. And I mean, every time I talk to him, he's changing what is cool and what his understanding of things is. And if you jump in and read the entirety of Axe Cop, you can see things changing. Like the most recent story we're doing right now, Axe Cop gets married. Like, for one thing, Axe Cop being open to even getting married is like a big step. But then even like his perception of everything and like the complexity of the plot twists and I don't know, it's all changing. But it's I don't know. I'm just going along with it. I didn't plan for it to happen. I'm not gonna like plan how it's gonna develop or how it's going to end or what we're going to do with it. As long as it's fun to make Axe Cop and it's fun for both of us and fun for people to read, but we'll just keep on making it.
By the way, did we describe this at the beginning part of when we started talking, like how the creation came about? I mean, obviously,
yeah,
your brother is very young. And you, how old are you now?
He's 5 at the time.
Yeah, and how
old are
you now?
He's 5 at the time and I was 29. I'm 32 now.
Right. So, I mean, like, for our listeners who have absolutely no idea what we're talking about right now, like, you basically created a comic book based on the stories that your 5-year-old brother started telling you.
Yeah. And at first it was just a few pages, but it went viral. Like, I posted them online. I created a website, axcop.com, and the main idea was just to kind of test out webcomics, and the website went viral. Like, it was, like, Entertainment Weekly's website of the day, like, the next morning.
Right.
And it just was like, from there, it was crazy from there. It was just.
It's a great concept. And the fact that, now, to going back to what Roy said, like, do you think that the ideas and everything will, do you think your brother's going to be like, this is lame, like, once he starts, like, turning, like, 13? Or, you know, hopefully, obviously, you guys will be around by then, but.
Or maybe he'll just go through an emo phase.
Yeah,
the rebellious phase of RoboCop where he hates his parents.
Well, yeah, I am kind of curious about that. I want to see how far it goes to, because it would be cool seeing how a young teen would, you know, keep perceiving things. It is, like you said, it is kind of seeing how a mind changes, you know, the way they do stuff.
I have to say I would be a little bit disappointed, because what I'm loving right now about the show is I can totally see a five-year-old's mindset as the certain things that the show does, like how he always has to identify a good guy versus a bad guy. Or in the second one that aired, where they bring in a British character, he had to keep specifying that it was from London, England. Like, he keep re-identifying, this person is not from America. This is the Queen of London, England. I love
that.
Well,
I think one thing that happens with X-Cop is we set up a character and he has a certain way of thinking and talking. And even as Malachi grows up, we're going to be left with all these attributes and qualities that X-Cop has. Because, like, the London, England thing, that's not in the comic anywhere where he keeps saying that. That's something we worked in because it is like something a kid would say. Yeah, and like it's funny. Something X-Cop would say.
Right.
So I think that's something that...
Or just even the logic that he had to marry the Queen of England to get the scepter.
Like, yeah.
I mean, you could just grab a scepter. Like
the idea that, and I think that the big one there is the idea that the Queen of England has magic powers.
And, you know, there's nothing, I'm not from England, so there's nothing saying she doesn't. And I'm not going to risk it.
Yeah, have all them scepters from, like, back in the day. You don't think they're going to do something?
Yeah, they got to do something.
And I want to ask a question, like, has he ever said something that's too mature? Have you ever had to, like, tell him to kid it down more? Like dumb it down? Like, has something ever been too clear?
Usually I just decide how I'm going to present it. Like there's an upcoming episode of Ask Axe-Cop where he's divvying out punishments as the president, because Axe-Cop's the president. So we have he's telling us like what his laws would be, what his punishments for different crimes would be. So he says that if you cuss, or if you say a bad word, you get slapped, and it shows Axe-Cop slapping some guy across the face. And then the other one is if you say a really bad word, you get kicked in the balls. But I didn't want to put balls in X-Cop. It just felt weird, so I put privates.
You know what? I know this is just the first season, and it's getting started. So by what season will you officially be able to disown all your friends and family and where you grew up and be an ass? Because right now, like, you still got to keep your ties. Like, by what season do you feel comfortable that you could just be like, I'm better than all you? Like three, maybe?
Anywhere near that. I don't think I'm anywhere close right now, but I have no idea.
Season three. I got you. I hear you.
I want to ask. I was going to ask. Does Malachi really like space? Because I have noticed that every time a new character gets introduced, it's usually from another planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, he just says world too. Like I don't even know he's thinking about a different geographical, like a different planet. He's thinking whatever. Everything comes from its own world.
Like and dinosaur so, like, planet.
Yeah.
I have a question. Now, is he the only sibling that you have?
No, I grew up with two brothers who were just, they're just 2 years younger and 6 years younger. And then when my dad remarried, Malachi was he was already having kids late when they had two daughters. I have two sisters who are now teenagers, and they're always rolling their eyes at Malachi's stories.
Now,
and
here's
Malachi
the thing.
Was kind of a surprise tagged on at the end because my dad's in his early 70s.
Is Malachi like, I mean, I'm, you know, he's nine now or eight now? Eight? Nine?
Nine.
Okay. Is he aware of that his stories and his brain is the kind of does he know how popular he is?
Yeah, he has. I mean, he knows because he comes to, like, we do conventions like a Comic-Con.
Right.
But it's removed from his day-to-day life because he lives in a small town and, you know, kids his age don't stay up and watch TV on Fox at 11 o'clock at night on Saturdays.
Well, you did wonders for him because he's going to be like the youngest kid with an IMDb page and and a SAG card. And
yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this affects his life if he wants to keep writing. Or he used to, if you brought up the idea... You know, I have to, like, warn people, like, I know that, like, the gimmick of X-Cop is that it's written by a kid, but if you say to him that, like, one day you're going to lose all that and you're not going to think like a kid anymore and X-Cop's going to be done, like, he'll start crying. Like, you can't just, like, say that to him.
Exactly.
But now he'll say it. Like, he says it, and he doesn't say it sadly. Like, he just goes, yeah, when I turn 18, I'm going to lose my imagination, so someone else will have to write it.
Oh my god!
Is he pretty mature?
I mean, he's just repeating things he's told by somebody that he's like, or he's heard that like adults lose their imagination or something. I mean, I don't know, because the question I constantly get asked is like, at what point he's going to grow up, right, and not going to think like a kid anymore? So, what do you do at that point? So I'm guessing he must get asked a lot. What are you going to do when you lose that childhood imagination of yours?
And I don't know.
It's weird. That's a weird question to ask a kid, right?
Well, exactly. And especially if you're at Comic-Con and some asshole's asking that, I'd be like, dude, fuck off. You're ruining my livelihood right now.
Yeah, go with
not my brother, but my livelihood.
Yeah, I think people don't think about it when they ask it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, John.
I'm sorry.
You got to keep him away from girls. Like, what's going to happen if he gets a girlfriend? Then he just stops focusing. He wants to spend all his time with her.
It's like Lennon with Yoko Ono.
Oh man, yeah. Axcop keeps going for these really long drives, and he doesn't do anything.
You're gonna see like the art start to change. It's like, all right, Axcop this time, he's really mad, and his girlfriend's mad at him, and nobody knows why. One day that axe is gonna be used for bad.
All right, so Ethan, now have you seen anybody, because obviously what you did was probably one of the most original creative things to come out recently. Is anybody attempting to copy what you do?
I don't know. I didn't think of it as an original when it happened. I mean, I thought, of course, people draw what like their siblings draw. And I think that people do that. And
no,
I've seen
we don't. I have a lot of siblings. I've never thought to do that.
Yeah. So. I mean, I've seen other creations, but usually the focus of the creation is on the funny story that they told that one time. And it's not, I think the uniqueness of Axcop is that we've created a character that is his imagination, and Axcop embodies it, and it's ongoing and it keeps building, and it's more of like it's its own world. It's rather than contained stories. Cause like I've seen I can't remember. I think there's a show called Written by a Kid online, and I know the people that made it, and they said they had been working on it before Axcop ever happened. But it's similar, but it's not like Axcop's about Axcop. Written by a Kid is about stories written by kids. There's no character that you take away from that. Well, so I think that's the unique thing we did.
I would imagine that obviously Malachi, when he started, was just telling a story during playtime. But as he gets older, you've essentially trained him to start thinking about scenarios that Axcop could be in. So even as he grows, I'm sure he'll be able to still keep that mentality and to be able to think of new scenarios for Axcop, even though he's not in a 5-year-old's brain anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that a big thing for him, this has had a big effect on him creatively. Like, a lot of us are taught to put those ways of thinking behind yourself and try to think more like an adult as you get older. And he's learning, like, the right way of thinking like a kid. Like, it's good to you know, put the way thinking like a kid when it comes to creativity is great. And some of us lose it as we get older. And it seems like it's encouraged him to enjoy it. And he thinks about storytelling and plot and all these things in ways that no kid his age I've ever known has thought about them, because he's seen them get executed over and over again. He's seen the merit of having a bad guy have a motive and like things that kids just don't usually think about. And I'm interested to see if it makes him want to write.
The one thing I do appreciate about Nick Offerman's delivery as Axcop is he sounds like the dad of Malachi. Like, if he found Malachi's little scribbles and read it, because he delivers it so seriously and so convincingly, but you can still hear the voice of the child. So he has this almost fatherly mentality that I hear in the back of it. Like, he's just proud. He's proud of what this has created.
Yeah, it's so funny. And that's true of our dad. Our dad is like, Malachi got asked, we did a Reddit AMA recently, and they asked, I can't remember it. Well, they asked, do you show off, or do you use the being famous to, like, you know, to make people think you're cool or to get stuff? And he said, I don't really brag, but if you want someone who brags, talk to my dad. He brags constantly. And our dad does, like, he constantly in the situation, he starts telling the story of Axcop, and we're like, oh, he's just telling it to some stranger he meets.
Does he brag about you, or is it just Malachi?
He actually tends to brag more about me. He brags about both of us, but he's always trying to set everybody straight, because people walk up to the booth and go, "What is it like being the father of Malachi Nicole?" And he'll go, "Well," and then he'll start talking about me, because he'll say, "I mean, you know, kids imagine all the time." It's like he's proud of me because I decided to listen to my brother and draw his ideas. So that's one thing I love about my dad. He's got my back.
There is
a tendency sometimes for people to think that Malachi is the kid genius, and I'm just like using him like the goose that laid the golden egg or something.
No, I have a question. How much direction did you have? Did you have very much creative input or direction for the show and how they should read things? Because you were mentioning as far as his delivery of the lines as Axe Cop, as far as Nick Offerman goes. Like, did you have to direct much, or do they even let you on the set as far as Fox goes?
I've been there for especially the first season and a half, like the first 9 episodes, I think. I was there in the writer's room on those. So like a lot of those, I had a lot of influence on, especially like Book Cop. All the ones you guys have seen so far, they're all based on actual Axe Cop stories in the comic anyway. And then also like we were there for the changes. We called Malachi about a lot of stuff. So like stuff that's not in the comics, there's some of it was still made up by Malachi. Like in the most recent episode, when Flute Cop goes on vacation with his wife, like we wanted a character to have a wife. Fox wanted a character to have, they wanted to be some kind of ongoing female character. It's just not hardly any in Axe Cop universe. And so we decided, you know, give Flute Cop a wife. We called Malachi, what would she be like? What would her name be? And you know, he said Anita, and they said, "So what if they want a vacation? Where'd they go? What would they do?" And he goes, "Oh, they go to Hawaii." And what would they do there? And he goes, "Well, he would charm coconuts out of the trees with his flute. He'd just play a song and fall into her hands. And then he'd play a song, like a volcano would almost erupt and kill everybody. And then he'd charm the volcano." So it became this like whole thing on him charming things with his flute on vacation. So he
used
it.
Did he have to like stop and think about it? Or like he already like knew what to say?
He rarely thinks. Like he says it like, "Why? Like, how could you not know this?" Like he just says it like it's happened.
You're so dumb.
Yeah, he's like, "Duh! Like, you guys don't. Why are you even asking?
Why are we on the same page right now?"
Yeah.
I actually think my favorite part of the vacation was the fact that they did it on $100.
Yeah,
well, that's a huge amount of money.
Now, I have to ask, because at least in the show, it seems like. Is Flute Cop you in terms of, because he seems to be more the straight guy in terms of, you know, more grounded in the real world, the way he talks and the way he acts, or is, you know, like even the little things in the TV show, like, "Wow, I'm just amazed how much $100 could buy you nowadays." Like, it's very, is he more of like the keep it grounded in the real world part of the show?
Yeah, and that was much more Nick Weidenfeld's idea to make Flute Cop be that grounded character, and I think it worked really well. I like it a lot. I think, and Ken Marino just nails it. Like, we have lines written in the script for him, but so many of his lines are improv when he's behind the mic because he's so freaking funny.
Yeah, a lot of those feel improv.
Yeah, he does really good. In the comic, a lot more what I do is there are characters that are me, but it's just for a moment. Like, for a moment, a character will suddenly question Axe Cop's logic, because that'll be me asking the question to Malachi, like, "Well, you know, dinosaurs have been extinct for many years. Like, where are we going to find dinosaurs to eat this bad guy's brain?" And I'll go, "Well, duh, there's the dinosaur planet. They all went there."
Duh. It makes obvious sense.
Yeah.
And I love that the king of all bad guys had mostly bad brain cells. So when they ate him, he was just a really dumb good guy. I love that. That's just,
yeah.
It's because I remember as a kid, I used to think the same way.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I have to ask, because you just reminded me, whose idea was it to have a fight about the rental agreement of the dinosaur? Like, you're just literally fighting about overdraft and late fees. Like, kids don't know about that.
Yeah, and that's definitely a moment that's put in by the writers. And I think that it's kind of, you know, I think there's certain things like in the show that I'm like, I wasn't fully on board with. That one I liked, though, even though it was obvious that adults wrote it.
Right.
I think it's funny because you're forcing adults into a situation created by a child. And like, the idea that you're going to rent a dinosaur horn to save a planet by summoning dinosaurs.
I love that a major plot point was trying to get it back.
Yeah,
wouldn't have to pay the rent. Yes, that was great.
Or I even like the small interjection of them saying, like, he's rented it before and he continues to have late fees, so it would just benefit him to buy it.
Yeah, I love that. Because I remember the funny thing when we wrote that script, and it was Matt Silverstein, I think, who thought of that gag. And I was doing a lot of commuting at the time. And so I'd be sitting in traffic, and I couldn't read the scripts, but I wanted to, like, listen to them. So I got this app on my phone that reads it in a row, and I got robot voice, reads PDFs, robot voice. And so she's reading that argument to me in a robot voice, and I was, like, dying laughing in my car. Like, you always return them late. It would be cheaper if you would just, and then, like, just going back and forth.
That is funny, man.
Now, commuting now, are you still doing that? Do you have to, or have you been going back and forth? Like, how involved are you in every script? Because you said you and someone else wrote the script. How involved are you in every script?
Well, there's a full writer's room, and my credit on the show is producer. But I was on the writing staff for especially the first six episodes. There's 12 that have been ordered, and there's about three there that I wasn't real involved in. Mostly because I was in the process of getting married at the time, so I was on honeymoon and all that stuff.
Right. Aw, congratulations.
Thank you. And, wait, what was the question?
I'm pretty sure you answered it.
Yeah,
talking about my wedding, and then I was also looking at the
Yeah, marriage will do that to you. Talking.
I'm staring at a dead bear. I'm trying to
Yeah, he's working.
Can we help with the dead bear?
I don't know, can you pose as a dead bear?
Sure.
Can you?
I've been working on this cartoon, and tell me if it's too similar to yours. It's called Machete Sheriff, okay? And it comes from the mind of a six-year-old girl.
Okay.
I mean, is the likeness too much, or is that okay?
That's one thing I love about with Malachi. Like, if someone said that hit to him, he would be so on board with them making that, because he isn't like competitive. Like, he'd be so ready to, like, make that story and team up and stuff.
What's Malachi's number?
I say go for it.
What's Malachi's number?
I got a business proposition for him. Oh, man.
Don't worry, Ryan's drawings are not that good.
Yeah, he's really bad.
Or my writing, or
anything related to anything. Speaking of the show itself, the TV show itself, how is it animated? Is it done old school by hand, or is it more like South Park, where it's more computer animated? Yeah, more Maya.
It's all done in Flash.
Ooh, Flash.
Ooh, Flash.
The unique thing about it in terms of, like, U.S. animation is that it's not sent overseas at all. So it's, like South Park, it's done all in-house, but it's much higher quality. I mean, they're doing a lot of traditional animation as far as, like, it's in Flash, and they're reusing. You can see, like, there's certain images of Axe Cop they reuse, but it's not like South Park, where it's just moving clip art. Like, it's, like, really, I don't know, it's ambitious, and it's pretty cool. I mean, it's on a small budget, and I've been really impressed with what they've done, because
thanks
for getting started. I thought it was going to be a really cheap-looking show, and I think they've done a really great job.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was actually, when we were watching it, you read the comic, and there's a lot of action in the comic, the way they transition, like you said, with the small budget, transition, like, those fight scenes. Like, really, one of the fight scenes that, forget the funniness aspect, it was just a really cool fight scene the way it animated was with the book cop fight scene versus, I think it was the King of England or whatever. that was done in a way, like, if you just caught it, you would think, oh, is this a new anime? Like, it was done in a very anime fashion kind of fight. It was very funny, but it's very every episode has a just like the comic, a section that's very has a very epic feel to it. Like the zombies on jetpacks, or, you know, something where it's like, well, you know, where did that come from?
Yeah, it's like, it's not just silly; it's also, like, just freaking awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there's a lot of moments like that, because that's also, I mean, Malachi, really, that's his focus. He's not trying to be funny; he's trying to be awesome.
I mean, some scenes are like, you know, all those secret. I love how he calls everything a secret attack,
and he has to announce the attack.
Of course, you
have to. Because it doesn't work if it's not announced.
Of course, it doesn't work,
and it's very literal. Always very literal. There's not, like, oh yeah, it's
secret attack poison soda.
Yes.
I drink juice. It's better than soda.
That's such a. I love that. That was great. But you know, I mean, now you said it got picked up for what? 12 episodes so far. They've ordered 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping for a second season because everyone I'm trying to turn everybody onto the show. It's fantastic.
I told everyone at work, and they're like, "This show is phenomenal."
Yeah, it awesome. Is. Yeah, it is.
And they also think I'm retarded.
Well, so there you go. So everyone wins.
So now, is the show an actual showcase on Fox, or is it just this so happens to be the segment of it? Because whenever I see promos for the show, it just showcases everything, including High School USA.
Yeah, I mean, they're calling it the flagship show for the Animation Domination block.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's like everyone over at ADHD, Animation Domination High Definition, which is a lot of words to say.
Yeah, at Fox ADHD. They're on Twitter. They're really, whoever runs their Twitter is actually a really nice guy.
So
or girl.
Yeah, they're all really nice. Basically, it's a block that they wanted to create to compete with Adult Swim and to compete with Saturday Night Live. It's the Mad TV block.
Yeah,
and, right. So they wanted to try to create their own kind of Adult Swim block of programming. And Axe Cop was the first one that Nick Weidenfeld went for. He had been wanting it since he was at Adult Swim. And it was just the perfect moment. Like, it was.
Well, you're with some heavy hitters there, aren't they? Like, having like Simpsons and a Family Guy and American Dad and all that kind of other stuff.
Well, they're on the same network. And but I see what they're like. The way
I'm talking about, no, the Animation Domination block. That's what he's talking about. And they have all those in that time slot.
No,
yeah, Animation Domination and Animation Domination HD are kind of two separate things. Like, Animation Domination is a primetime thing, and Animation Domination HD is only on Saturday nights for an hour and a half, and it's original programming.
Yeah, Joel, you're dumb.
And it's adult. It's like it's supposed to be adult oriented, and that's the funny thing about
because when I saw promos for it, not knowing that each show is going to be its own entity, it actually reminded me of Liquid Television on MTV when it was just a bunch of just little vignettes. Yeah. So that's what I thought it was when I saw Axe Cop. I'm like, okay, cool. It'll be a vignette, and every week you see like another 2 minute slot that looks almost kind of like Aeon Flux, but apparently it's not.
Oh, I see.
Like cartoon.
Yeah, I think that they are doing some shorts. I think if you watched it, there's each week or. Like, they should have that boat night one. Did you see the boat night? That was one of their shorts they did. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, no, and like I said about ADHD, the best way I found to describe it, Fox ADHD is like Adult Swim's cousin that no one talks about at dinner, but is a really, really just weird guy. That's what they are, because when you watch that, it's really cool. Like, exactly, Liquid Television, John's the way to describe it. It has a very trippy, even everything in between, there's a very trippy feel to it. I dig it. It's very cool. You know what they're doing, but, and to be fair, you know, you guys should be beating Saturday Night Live at this point. It's not as good as it used to be. So,
well, it's a place to experiment, and I think it's great. I mean, a big network like Fox doing something so experimental and weird, and like letting such weird stuff be on their station, I think is awesome. And it's a place where they're putting. The model is kind of rather than create a pilot and spend a bunch of money on a pilot that may never even air. They're spending money on a short season. Originally, it was just 6 episodes, and they're only 10 minutes each. So that's
well,
like,
they didn't just go. Okay, we'll have a pilot first and see how it tests.
Yeah, this is the pilot. Like, we'll do 6, you know, 10-minute episodes and see.
So they're pretty much they're pretty much just throwing baloney against a wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
So we only have about 8 minutes left on the show, Ethan, and we've taken up an hour of your time. But one, thank you for calling in. It was a wonderful interview. And two, obviously plug your show, but plug anything else you have going on. Any Comic-Cons you're going to be at or Bearmageddon?
Barricane.
Barricane. Bearmageddon.
Yeah, please do read Bearmageddon.
Oh, that's right. That's what it was.
And I think
Barricane is already it.
Just to show how much he likes hippo juice, I think that bear that's in front of him that's dead should have an eye patch on it, just so no one else will know. But when we look at it, we'll be like, hey, that bear with an eye patch, he did it because of hippo juice. What do you think, guys?
So anything you'd like to plug before we hang up? Because we are nationwide, so I'm sure somebody.
All right. I think just, you know, if you've checked out the show, go back to the source material, check out the comics. That's right now still where I'm making my living. And
what's the website?
AxeCop.com, and that's A-X-E, not A-X.
By the way, I'm really glad it's AxeCop.com and it wasn't AxeCop.org and someone else took .com and you're like,
yeah,
damn it.
Net.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, back when I got it, nobody knew what AxeCop was, so it worked out.
Awesome.
That's the worst when you have to settle for like AxeCop, the comic / TV show on fox.net/org/TV because everybody took everything. At least you got what you wanted.
Yeah.
Well, again, Ethan, Nicole, thank you so much for calling in. It was a pleasure.
Before we let him go, though, the thing is, I feel like we've become very good friends. I mean, like Phil Lord, the guy who filmed 21 Jump Street, which actually has Nick Offerman, your good friend. I feel like we're all good friends here, and you should, because, you're our bestest buddy at this point, let us do a few voices in your show.
Actually, just replace the whole cast with us.
I think you should. I really think
Nick Offerman. Kind of idea.
They'd be like, Hippo Juice, yeah.
You think that, like, when you have your own show, you can make all those decisions, but really, like, I've tried to get my buddies in on voices and stuff like that. I've not been able to.
I guess, when you sign with guys like Fox.
Mm-hmm. You got to go through the motions.
I mean, I can't complain. They've got some pretty amazing voices on there.
Oh yeah, definitely. But dude, don't be a stranger, man. Like that was like, we never go the full second hour with a guest, and you brought us the entire way. So thank you so much, man.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Have a good one, Ethan.
Thanks, Ethan. Right, appreciate
guys.
It,
guys. Bye.
Ethan Nicole, everybody, creator of...
How great was he? He was awesome.
Dude, wow. I swear to God, if I see one barricade in anything that he does, this show is coming to court. I'm taking this Exhibit A, Ethan.
I love that guy. He was great.
Dude, he fucking
ruled. He was awesome.
I love how Star Trek he was when these people were like tweeting him.
Right.
That was something I was telling Royce off air. I was like, he started out on webcomic. I bet you he's gotten starstruck.
Dude, I mean, how weird would it be if they just like turned our dumb show into like a reality show?
No, we'd fucking
we had people come up, like famous people come up and going, dude, I've watched every episode. This is the greatest thing ever.
And then I'd be like, get the fuck away from me, Tom Arnold. You can't be on the show. Sorry, bro, but I'm gonna get back.
I like
at that.
How in the Skype chat for signing off, he leaves a little winky face.
Well,
he's great.
Well, because Dutch is stupid,
yeah,
in the chat room.
I said wink if you can see this, Ethan, and of course he put a little winking face.
Oh my God.
Dutch,
thing. Okay.
Dutch starts talking to us like, "Oh man, this guy's great. Should we keep the going or whatever?" I'm like, you know, he's in the Skype room. He's reading what we're reading.
Dude, it's a good thing I said nice things. If I would have said this guy blows,
at least it was. You know,
like, when is this ass clown gonna get off?
That's just it. Is that like okay? We were about 35 minutes into the interview, and I was like, okay, hey, are we going the full hour, or are we gonna wrap it up? And Marie was like, oh no. I'm like, no, this guy rules. Let's keep going. And then like after I said that, I was like, oh shit, he can read.
No, it doesn't matter. It was positive.
I keep forgetting they're not on the phone with us. They're on the Skype with us.
It was fine. Well, he was fantastic, by the way. And I love Dutch. You're shameless. You know that?
Yep.
Now that we're best friends in the world. You know, Dutch, just because me and my best pal in the world, Philip Lord, you know.
He wouldn't have been our best pal if I didn't shame him into being friends with us.
Famous director Phil Lord.
Yes.
World-famous director Phil Lord.
And I hope that world-renowned webcomic Ethan Nicole doesn't turn into Dr. Venture when you were freaking bashing him on Twitter, and then you had to come on and openly apologize.
I did
to
have
him.
To do that, but to be fair, James Urbanaki.
Hey, what?
Remember when James Urbanaki...
Urbaniak.
Urbaniak.
Oh, my God.
Urbanaki.
This is why they tweet hatey stuff at you.
Well, whatever.
This is why they tweet you.
Before
Royce.
The show started, we're like, hey, how do you say his last name? And I'm like, Nicole? Like, no, it's Nicole.
It's Nicole, right?
Copyright that. That's tweet. Nicole. I invented that word.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. That's right. You said something bitter towards him. He came
and
on
he
the
was
show
kidding.
And you were just... Back
and I apologize. No, because I realized that he was being sarcastic, and I didn't get the joke when I commented like an asshole. I remember.
What was the joke? Yeah.
I don't remember.
So many years ago,
I really don't remember. It was a couple years ago.
Like Occupy Wall Street or something.
No, it wasn't even that. It was before Occupy Wall Street. That's how long ago it was.
Whatever.
But any, I don't remember what it was.
That's right. He came on and you were just, you were in a corner the whole interview. I forgot about that.
It's embarrassing because you forget people pay attention now and it sucks. Because you get caught.
You know what
like me.
Do? Next best of, I'm gonna put that interview up because I'm sure the awkwardness is in that interview.
All right, guys.
It turned out to be a very good interview.
We gotta wrap it up. Red Show coming up right after us here. Hopefully, we can end this show.
Playing out?
Yeah, if you can. Hopefully, this Red Show can end without someone passing out and having to go to the emergency room. Fingers crossed.
Wait, hold on. That happened last week?
No, a couple of weeks ago, I think P-Rock drank a little bit too much. And
whoopsie-daisies.
He was, and then Footer had the saying, Hammy, can you cut the feed? Cut the feed, Hammy.
Saying that I drink too much.
You do.
That's because you do.
But I've never passed out on the air once.
Yeah, but
yet.
But you have something in your car that won't start. Wait,
didn't
unless
he
blow
pass
in
out
it
like in New York and fell in garbage juice and HIV?
Yeah, you did.
And like Chinese noodles.
That's not fair.
You did pass out in China.
All right, guys, 1 minute, Dutch. Come on. Neglected hippo text. Go.
Neglected
right,
hippo text.
Quadroon Obama? Is referring to
racist.
The picture of that
it's
one.
Racist.
Quote, what Luna, you, or sorry, what Lana, you flipped out when I called you Quadroon?
Okay, that's funny.
Who volunteers to be acid attack victims?
Well, I do.
By the way, I'm already working towards Shark Tard.
Okay, come on, guys.
And Skype him so hard. There was not a whole lot of action going on in
because
the
because our interview was so intriguing, there was no need for it.
That just tuned away because I thought they had no idea who we were talking
about.
Well,
whatever, we're famous. Coming up next, Red Show. Dutch, play us out. Any other plugs? No, nothing. Oh, I made a
Yes, I want to tease something for next week.
Okay.
Ooh.
This is a bit that I thought of doing all summer. Anytime we do the show live, we're going to go on Craigslist and we're going to casual encounters and then you select M for M, M for M, whatever you want. We're going to pull up an ad. We're going to read the ad and we will respond to the ad and I will write the email. Make a fake email or my real email because I might like it.
Yeah.
And everybody will only get to say one sentence and we can't go back.
Okay.
Whatever it is,
I'm down.
That's what we're sending to these creeps.
All right. We got to wrap up though. Dutch, play us out because Red Show's on. We will definitely do that though. Hit it. Go make some new disaster. That's what I'm counting on. You're someone else.